Okay, well, I've got the prayer request. We're going to go before the Lord. And, you know, if there's something else I really feel we need to be praying for as well, as individuals, as the body of Christ, and that is our other bodies. We're not exclusive to God. There are other churches. They are part of the body of Christ. And when their denomination has a tendency to adopt a sinful, biblically sinful theology and approve things that God disapproves of, we have a tendency more to gripe and complain and grumble and moan and groan about them instead of praying for them. Pray that their eyes be opened and that the truth. I watched a video this morning of a man who was in a church that was doing the exact same thing, and he stood up and he said, "Pastor, what about the scripture? You're accepting all of this stuff that the scripture says will not inherit the kingdom of heaven." And, you know, it was kind of funny. This little usher, I'm guessing she was about yay tall, but he was about yay tall and big broad shoulders. He says, "No, I ain't going with you. I want to know. I want to know why we're not preaching the word. Why we're teaching all this stuff that is contrary to the word." And but anyhow, so we need to be praying for churches like that instead of complaining about them and saying, "Oh, I just can't believe it." The Bible told us that the spirit of Antichrist, one of the first things everybody says, the Antichrist, the beast, he's going to be gay. He may be, I don't know, but I've always took it as the spirit of Antichrist is pushing the agenda, just as he did in the Roman and Greek times. So just understand, nothing's new. We're going to go before the Lord, though, and pray for these things. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you for your power, for your love. Father, you love all of us. You loved us when we were sinners. And now, Father, we do pray for our brothers and sisters in other churches today. Lord God, we pray that your power would override their egos. Lord God, that the side that says, "Well, we need to accept this," would say, "No, wait a minute. That's not right. Lord, we need you." Father, we don't hate people who are bound in sinful lifestyles. For Lord God, many of those things can be even possibly found here. So Lord God, we pray for them. We pray for the revelation that they may get free from those lifestyles. Lord, I thank you that you're moving across this country today in every church that dares to call itself part of the body of Christ. Lord God, I thank you that you're opening their eyes. You're setting the captives free in Jesus' name. And now, Father, we lift up the family, the Andrews family. Lord God, I pray for your comfort in that family. Lord, I don't know their status with you, but Lord, it doesn't matter. You still are the great comforter. Lord, as this family has lost their husband, Lord, and their father, many, many roles that people play. Lord, I pray that you comfort them. Lord, surround them with people that will love on them, Lord God, and give them hope in Jesus' name. And Father, we also pray for the Truex family and Lord, for the loss of Caleb. Father, I ask right now that you move mightily in their lives as well, bringing comfort and peace into a chaotic and sorrowful time. And Father, we pray for Michelle. Lord God, you see what's going on in her life, Father. She needs your strength. She needs comfort, Lord God. She needs you more now than ever. Lord, I pray that you touch her. Lord, reach through all the things that have happened to her. Lord, and I pray right now that you touch her, heal her of the physical ramifications of things. But Lord, that you also give her strength and courage to overcome all the others. And Father God, I pray for this prayer team that left this morning on their way to Israel. Lord, we set your angels round about them. Protect them, Father. Lord God, give them wisdom that when the Holy Spirit says stop, they stop. When the Holy Spirit says run, they run. So Lord, I thank you and praise you that you are leading them, Father, that your power will flow with them, Lord God. Lives will be changed. Salvations will be written in your book of life. And Father, we thank you and praise you to be a part of this country. Lord, I don't believe for any 1 minute that you're going to let things happen. That's what I believe. You told us in your word things were going to happen. They're going to happen for reasons. We may not understand, but Lord, we pray for wisdom to change the things that we can, Lord God, and to hold on when you say stop. Father, I thank you right now that you're moving across this nation in churches today. Start in the churches, Lord God. Changing lives, opening their eyes, revealing to them the truth of your word and how it sets us free. And Father, I pray for this Angie, Lord. She needs a career change. Lord, I pray that you open her eyes to what you may be leading her to. Father, I thank you right now, Lord God, that you're moving in her life, that this will be unmistakably you, Lord God, that there will be so much change and it'll be for a positive effect. And Lord, I pray right now that you, I'm not certain who's selling the car, but Lord, that you lead them to the car they need, Father, and you lead a buyer to the car that they have. Now, Father, we thank you and praise you for all the many things you're doing. Lord God, for the lives that are being changed through your Holy Spirit. Lord God, for it is with the Holy Spirit that we are empowered. It is with your Holy Spirit that we receive everything that we have from you. Lord, help us now to receive all of it in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. Well, praise God. So, I was listening to my music the other day, and there's a song that's come on over and over by a group called Blood Good. And from time to time in different songs, the guy will actually just say something, but it's so much lower that you really got to concentrate to hear. And over the years, God has allowed me to just single in on that one thing. And I've caught it. And I'm like, wow, that is powerful. Well, the other day, I was at a traffic light, and I heard something. I'm like, I've never heard that before. And it was, faith untested isn't faith. Now you might say, well, I've got faith, brother. I don't need it to be tested. Then it's nothing more than a theory. You're nothing more than a theoretist. Theoretical scientist, if you will. They have theories that aren't real. But God's word is real, and we like to believe things that aren't in God's word. And I'm not saying that everything God has ever done is going to be recorded in our Bibles. What I'm saying is, he gave us examples of the people that we need to follow. Well, brother, I'm a follower of this camp. I just understand this here and now for us. We claim no allegiance to any camp. We're Christians, cut and dry. I don't follow this camp. I don't follow this camp. I may like this, a person of this, what they call camps nowadays. I might like something over here. I might like someone over here. But the reality is, if it's not the word of God, and it don't track, I don't believe it. And when people start preaching off the wall garbage and stuff that is clearly greed or sacrilegious, I don't follow them anymore. But I read in the word where God is constantly telling us we got to have faith. We got to grow our faith. That's working. Apparently it's not working anymore. Did the thing get bumped? Who's back there? Nobody. Okay. Thank you, Carsey. Yeah, it's on. I was playing with it. Well, the thing gets bumped. We're just going to have to do it manually, Carsey, if you remember. Because we're going to go to Hebrews 11:1. Well, you know what? You just hang with me, Carsey, if you can. You just run it, and I'll read out of mine. So what do we do when things don't work? We figure out how to keep going. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony." A good testimony is what we're actually after, folks. Not from the world, other than, well, they're a good person. But I want to hear from the body of Christ, no, they were encouraging. Their lives, they lived out life. That's what we want. We want to hear the body of Christ say, you did well. I want to get across that finish line, so to speak, and hear Jesus say, well done. You ran a good race. So faith is how all the patriarchs, the elders. Now, the elders being just simply people who were older. Some of these guys weren't all that old when they were living out their lives, but I believe verse 8 is next. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob. See, people don't realize that. Abraham knew Jacob. He knew his grandsons. The heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Imagine being Abraham. You're living in a solid building. It's made with bricks. Wind comes blowing along. You don't have to worry about your tent stakes being pulled up or the roof leaking because you got a solid roof. He lived in a solid building. God says, now here's what I want you to do. I'm making you a promise. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to make you prosperous, but you're going to live in a tent. You're never going to have a home. Now, I'll be honest, growing up, we didn't own a home. We always rented. For a long time, my dad had to follow the work, so it made no sense to own a home. We lived in apartments. We lived in trailers. We lived in homes or houses, and we lived in the good part of town, and we really lived in the bad part of town several times. But when I bought my first home, something was different. I'd rented a couple places, but then I bought one that was mine. Things were different. It's mine. God promised me this. It's mine. The landlord isn't going to come out and say, I'm giving this to my son. You got to move. It's mine. Abraham gave that up. He dwelt in those tents. I believe 17's next. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Did you notice how each one of these paragraphs started? By faith. Okay, we need to understand something. Faith without obedience is dead. James put it, faith without works. It's useless. Faith without the obedience of what God said is like a screen door on a submarine. It's useless. I've got faith. When James was saying, show me your faith by your works, he's meaning show me your faith by your obedience. I've talked about disobeying God. We've all disobeyed God. Don't sit and say, well, I never disobey God. Oh, yes, you do. I'm going to stand way over there so when the lightning, if God should decide to do it that way, doesn't hit me. Because I know we all miss God sometimes. And I mean just in the little things. Because just as I was sharing how God cares about the little details in your life. The other day, I had to come back from Columbus. Well, on the way up, I went to Columbus on Monday. I was in Columbus three times this week. And on the way down, somehow I missed 3:15. And if you ain't been down there in a while, it is a whole lot different. And you got to be on the other side of that concrete berm And I knew that, but I was in the wrong lane. And my mind said, no, you're in the right lane. And as I'm going down the road and I look over and I see the signs for 315, I'm like, how did I do that? I'm in the wrong lane. And I said, well, the next exit is Sawmill Road. I'll go up and turn around. Halfway to Sawmill Road, my gas light comes on. I knew it was going to be close, but I at least wanted to get to my appointment. And I've never tested this truck to see how far it'll go, and neither do I like pushing trucks. It's not fun. But I get up there. I'm in the left lane. I'm just going to pull big. Well, they did that intersection all up. It's one of those 5-point ones now. And I looked up and saw the red arrow. Oh, I can't turn. I can't do this. Well, actually, I could have. I just didn't. I passed the gas station up here at 71. That was 269. It's like, yes. Yes, God, it's going down. I went on. So I thought, well, I'll go down here. I see a gas station. I'll get up here. It was 239. God saved me $20 by driving 100 feet. And I got to my appointment on time. But then I come back. I had to go back down on another one of those days with all the running. I needed gas again. I came back, got up there. I was like, well, so much traffic that day. I am not trying to get across all this. There's construction down at Delaware. There's all this. I'm not getting over. It was 255. I thought, well, it's cheaper than Mount Gilead area. I'll get off up in here. Well, maybe I'll get off at the Marengo exit. Yeah, it's just a lot of heavy traffic. I'm like, I really don't want to get off. I'll pay the difference between 269 and 255. It's not going to be that much. I get up to the Chesterville exit and, oh, it's 264. Thank you, Lord. That was 5 cents off, more than I thought. I look to my right. There's three gas stations on that exit. And the one that I really do prefer to go to, the Marathon, was 255. And I was like, oh, Lord. And everybody else saw it too, because all the pumps were sitting there full. And I'm like, well, I'll pull my big old truck around here and get in line. And when I pull up there, the two cars that were there, both drivers, got in their cars at the same time, and they left, freeing the whole lane up for me. I said, thank you, Lord. You cared enough about that. It was the Holy Spirit telling me not to go to those gas stations. I don't know what might have happened, but I know God wanted me at that one, because they're usually all the same price at that on that exit. God cares about every detail in your life. So when you listen, he brings blessings into your life. But when you disobey, you pay. Now, so by faith, when he was tested, ding, 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 ding. Because I know some of you said, well, my faith, I don't have to test my faith. I just believe. Again, it's a theory. It's a theory. I can say I can believe I can fly and go up on the roof and run off the end. But you know what else I believe in? The law of gravity. Why? Because God did not tell me to jump off of this roof. I jumped off of one when I was 9. Not quite this high. But in my defense, I was stupid, I was young, and I had ticked off a 17-year-old who was coming up to kick my butt. And there was only one way up, and that was the tree that he was coming up. So I ran and jumped off the back of the barn. But I'm not going to do it. I'm going to get hurt because it's disobedience. But if God told me, this is it, you got to run and jump, I believe God will save me. But it's a theory right now. Personally, I don't know that I want to test that one. But if I have to, there's nothing that says he won't. If God really wants me to fly, he created the Wright brothers. They understood the law of thrust and propulsion. When he was tested, he offered up Isaac. Abraham had trusted God. He left a home. He left security. He left civilization. Do you understand that? Mesopotamia, the land of Ur, of the Chaldeans, was it. It was like New York. That's where everybody wanted to be. The parties were all there. The celebrities were all there. The rich and famous, they were all there. Everybody wanted to be there. It was green. And we have no proof that Egypt, or not Egypt, but that Israel wasn't green at this time either. God says, I want you to leave there. And I want you to go up to a land I'm going to show you. And he took him around. He took him all over. Up to Lebanon, back down into Egypt. He took him all over the place there. He trusted God, and God said, look, I'm going to prosper you. I'm going to give you a child. Well, we've learned about that the last couple weeks, haven't we? He took matters into his own hands and created the anti-blessing. He created Ishmael. But God did not recognize him, even as the word says down here in 17, an offer, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. The word begotten doesn't just mean his only birthed son, because we know that's not true. Ishmael, Isaac, and then all of Keterah's children. Okay? He had all of them. Begotten means the son of purpose, the child of the purpose. Jesus was the only begotten son. Are we not sons and daughters of God? Absolutely. But we are not the one with the purpose. We're not the one that had the only purpose, that he was the only one that could fulfill that. Isaac was the only one that could fulfill that promise. So his faith was now tested, because he believed God for this promise. I've got my son. And again, I told you, he was not a 12-year-old. He was much older. And so they go on. It says, verse 18 says, of whom it was said, Isaac, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up from the dead. Now, we really have no other, this is just a conclusion of the writer of Hebrews, that this is what Abraham thought. I haven't found anything that said Abraham knew God could raise him. And there may be a scripture I'm not registering right now. But understand something. Abraham believed God could raise him up from the dead if he did have to. But I contend he didn't. Why? Because when he was going up the mountain, there's Isaac. He's got the firewood in the bundle thrown up on his shoulders. He's carrying it. Abraham's back here, got the knife on his side, got the clay pot with the hot coals to light it. And they're going up there. And Isaac says, Dad, okay, I got the wood, you got the fire and the knife, but where's the offering? Where's the sacrifice? Y'all know, Abraham says, my son, God will provide himself a sacrifice. He knew God wanted him to go through with this. And if he had to, he would do it. And if he had to, he would kill him. But he also knew God did not want his son. He wanted to test his faith. He says, I'm going to take it. And the Bible says the angel of the Lord grabbed him right there. Oh, stop. Time out, dude. I know now you fear God. Fear is that respect in faith of obedience to God. It is not trembling. It's not just I stand there and I can't speak, I can't say anything. It is a direct obedience to what God is saying. If God tells you to reach out to someone, it's not a request. It's a command. There's a reason God wants you to speak to that person. You may not know. God, I don't have words. As Paul, the New Testament puts it, God will give you the words. Just open your mouth. I mean, come on. We read where Moses argued with God. Anybody ever do that? I mean, we're talking, that's some intestinal fortitude. God, I stutter. I'm not good speech. I don't have good presence. Okay, I'll give you Aaron. Pretty much the number of words that Aaron actually spoke to Pharaoh can be counted. Moses still did all the talking. God doesn't buy our excuses either. So if our faith does not get a test, it's not faith. It's just a theory that we're trying to live by. Well, you know, now listen, if God tells you, I want you to quit eating a certain food, you eat that, or you don't eat that. You get that right. You eat that, who knows? God might be telling you to stop eating it because it's going to give you a heart attack. Sometimes or sugar. Exactly. Everybody's body's a little bit different. We don't process. Our bodies still live in a sinful world. And we can't just mistreat them. We can't work them to death without a break. That's kind of what day number 7 was created for, was for you to stop. But that's not what we do, and we pay for it. But by faith, you do it. By faith, you don't eat whatever it was. By faith, you don't drink whatever it was. By faith, you take that day off and trust God. You know what? I trust you. You said to take a break. I'm taking the break. I'm going to tell you right now, when I was self-employed and my, you know, first couple years of my business, it's like, man, you got to make money. You got to start turning, right? And, you know, I had one job. It had to be done by that Monday. But they only gave me Friday night to Sunday night to do it. And it was a building about the size of this that every room in it needed painted. And they were blocked, so I had a lot of painting to do because I had to spray, I forget how many times I had to paint it to fill the block because block filler wouldn't go through the sprayer. And I remember, and I was preaching at the time. I had started the church, and I'm out there. I got done preaching, threw something in my belly, kissed the kids, kissed the wife, jumped in the truck, and went to the job site. Hated every second of it. Saturday, it didn't bother me. Friday night, didn't bother me. But Sunday afternoon, I hated it. I was loathing life in general. And I did another job, the same thing. I got to get it done. Got to get it done. Shouldn't have done it. I should have just waited. Don't let people push you beyond what your beliefs are. And that's what I did. Somebody asked for something unreasonable is what they did. And me thinking I'm God said, I can do it. Verse 19 says, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Figuratively, he did receive him back because in his heart, he had already gave him up. Now, you need to understand something. Some people say, so the intention, we're going back to my intentions. Understand something. With intentions are obedience. Sin, it's already counted against you. Jesus said, if you look at a woman to lust after her, you've already done the deed. Because in your heart you have, and eventually you will. But if God tells you to do something and you say, well, I meant to do that, Lord, but I didn't. That's called disobedience, a totally different intention. Abraham set it in his heart as stone. I'm doing it. He was there. Isaac is bound. The knife is in his hand. He's going to bleed him. And God said, stop. He had already made it up. Even Jesus on the cross, he said, not my will, Father, but here, let's understand something. If it can pass a different way, can we do that? But not my will, yours alone. And he went through with the crucifixion, probably the hardest thing God the Father ever had to do. Because you need to understand, I got a feeling he was experiencing what Jesus was. And he, oh. We were talking about this morning, about how Jesus was on the cross and he's looking around. I mean, before when he's in the garden and Peter smites Malchus and whacks off his ear, and Jesus said, put that away. If you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. Do you not know that my Father could send thousands of angels? Legions. I said, you know, the old song said 10,000 angels. He could have sent legions of angels to destroy the earth. Now, a couple years ago, I was reading some things about what he said on the cross. He said, you know, we have, my God, why have you forsaken me? Which it was actually been one, my God. Loud. He said, why have you forsaken me? And that honestly has bothered me because Jesus was a man, Jesus was a Jew, and up here in Deuteronomy, God said, Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The very words. But when I started studying that out and started learning some things about that, there's two phrases that are spoken. One of them people got away from because the words look the same. I'm not going to try to butcher them. But the one said, Father, for this I was born. This is my reason. I believe that when Jesus was standing, hanging there on the cross, and by the way, it doesn't matter if you believe it or not, you keep believing that God forsook somebody. We just sang a song through it all. You'll never leave me to go through it all. God was there. I don't believe God turned his head. I believe God was right there. But you need to understand something. He just said night before, my God, my Father would send angels to destroy this earth. And as Jesus is hanging there on the cross, and he looks up and he says, Father, for this I was born. It wasn't because he was feeling emotional. It wasn't because he felt lonely. I believe it was because God had every one of them angels outlining the entire horizon. And Jesus looked up and he saw thousands of warrior angels to come and destroy this planet. And all Jesus had to do was tap out. Jesus knew it and he sold out. The will of God in your life, you have to sell out. There is no going back. God allowed me to be self-employed when I started this. I understand completely why. It was really beneficial because I still needed to make money, still had a family to feed. But I was able to work here, work there, work here, work there. And then over time, it started taking a toll on my health and my mental capacities. And I said, God, I can't do all this. And I talked to Pastor Dosik. He said, because one time I tried to go full time, just wasn't able to sustain it. And Pastor said, well, I would have told you to go get a part-time job and then do that. Okay. So you know what I did? I went and applied for jobs. I applied at places where I knew their stores better than anybody in there because I shopped in them every day, Lowe's being one of them. They wouldn't take me. That's probably what it was. They would not take me. And I applied at a couple other places. It didn't work out. The only things that ever worked out for me was to subcontract out to other people where I was still the boss of my own life. That was the only thing that ever worked out. And then it was, you got to stop. I couldn't go back. Just like Elisha burned. If y'all ever pay attention to that, when Elisha was called by Elijah to follow him, he burned the plow. He burned the oxen. They were his daddy's. He burned his daddy's tractor to the ground. I ain't going back. He also made it where he couldn't go back home. He didn't have a home anymore. Not only did he burn the tractor and the plow, he burned the bridge. He could no longer go back. He had to follow God. Now, I'm not saying you got to burn bridges with your families, okay? Although you may want to sometimes. But God moved with Elisha. Elisha was there when Elijah went up. He blessed him because of his faithfulness. When we obey God, we are blessed. When we disobey God, we disrespect Him. See, the opposite of respect is disrespect. Fear, no fear. I don't fear God. I do. And not just because if He snaps His fingers, I can, poof, I'm primordial dust again. No. I fear God because I honor God, because I know who He is. And my faith is firm. So when something comes at me, I'm firm in my faith. When something comes at you, I'm firm in my faith. Why? Well, Pastor, it doesn't seem like a whole lot's been going on in your life. Well, let me tell you a little something here. Ever since we started having kids, the devil's tried to kill everyone. Every one of them. And with one of them, he tried to kill my wife. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. Don't tell me I don't have faith that God will heal. My faith has been standing firm that God is healing this, and it is. He's using a therapist as well. But you need to understand something. The devil's still trying to fight. They called me back in. That's why I was in Columbus Monday. They said, we need to go deeper. And they went deeper and they said, oh, there's more down there than supposed to be. She looked at it. Got me up, stood me up. I'm going to tell you right now, I was a little concerned because she already told me there's nothing there. And then you call me in and said, we need to talk. I just told my church there's no cancer. I get down there and I'm like, okay. I wasn't really concerned because I serve a good God. I serve a great God. I serve the warrior God. I serve the healing God. And she says, well, here's the deal. I look at it. She said, that's not cancer. You have an infection. And how long you've had it, it's hard to tell. She said, but I think that's what's causing your vocal cords, the muscles, to swell because they're riding on the nerve. So I've been taking amoxicillin. You know what makes me sick? Amoxicillin. And she said, but it's the best thing for you. I said, I'll take the chances. Not a bit of sickness. Yeah, brother, I believe if God's going to heal you, He's just going to do it. You know what? Heard somebody say, and this was somebody that believes like I do. God heals usually in three ways. Miraculous, the doctor, the gates of heaven. You think I'm kidding? Sometimes He lets people go home. I knew one man, God healed him of a mind problem. He had been in a bad accident. His mind was, he was a vegetable. He just had certain memories, and he just always the same thing. But then people prayed for him. He started coming around to his right mind. They released him. They were going to release him from that ward. And he's sitting there, and he says, you know the first thing I'm doing? He said, I'm going to the bar, and I'm picking me up a cheap woman. Before he got released, he was right back in the same boat. And he'd been getting better for months. He went right back. God let him remain as he was. So, if you're not obeying God with your faith, it's just a theory. Well, I believe that God wants this. You know, I'm going to use Katie here for an example. She spent a lot of money on making recordings. That time's not cheap. God provided her with a way to pay for it, and then she started writing the songs, recording the songs, and now these songs are doing wonderful things, overseas particularly. Oh, why not here? Because there's 1.6 billion people in India. There's more people in India than there is in China right now. I think China's 1.2 billion. They need Jesus. They need encouragement. What happens if she says, no, I don't think I'm going to spend that money. I think I'm going to spend that money elsewhere, do something else. When you obey God, God takes care of the other things for you. So understand, if your faith is not tested, you're still running on a theory. Well, I still don't believe it. Well, you don't have to until you get tested in it and find out that was never God. I heard one person say, well, I'm never going to die, so I'm not making any arrangements. I'll be raptured. Can anybody show me in a scripture, and I'm going to put my hands in my pockets, where it says you will not die? Or anybody that knows that you're going to rapture before you die? I don't know if I will be. I really don't. Well, I just feel for my grandchildren. Oh, so do I. But you know what? I'm making sure that I'm praying for them grandkids, and I'm praying, and I'm teaching them about Jesus. I'm giving them the good things in life. Those are the good things. Buying them toys, doing all that. That's all fun and games. But I'm making sure they know about God. Because if they don't know about God, when the Antichrist finally does rise up on this earth, that great dragon, they will be swayed. And that's not happening. Not on my watch. My faith is in God. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. I've watched how he delivered Moses several times from a baby on. That's what the great thing about Hebrews 11 is. It just goes down and boom, 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 boom. And to see how God did things for people. My faith has been tested. Theories that I had that I thought, well, that's great faith. Found out, nope, that's just a theory. It didn't work. Because I always thought, well, if I sow here, I'll reap from here, right? Isn't that what we think? You know, we put natural things to spiritual plans. And we say, if I sowed in this field, I should reap in this field. But that's not how it works. If I sow into my brother Harold, well, maybe Matt's the one that sows back into me. That's how God works. Because now Matt needs an opportunity, and I have seed in the ground, and it's all a spiritual thing. And that's why we need each other. Don't let your faith go untested. God told you to stop eating, drinking, driving certain things, driving fast. Let's stand. Make sure you obey God. Speaking of driving fast, on that Monday on my way back, I was running with the traffic. I'm just going to tell you that right now. It was a wee bit above the speed limit, but my cruise was set. I was not passing people. I was just running with them. At the Delaware exit, I caught this blue thing coming down. I might have been going 10 over. I'm not going to admit. Okay, I was running 80. I'm running 80, and I see this blue thing that before it hit the bottom of the ramp, blew by me like a rocket. And at that point, I think he was at least at 100, possibly 120 the way he left me. And by the way that he got a mile down the road, might have been more like 150, 160. I was like, Lord, please protect that idiot. Because there's a lot of traffic out here. By the way, it was a blue Corvette. It was beautiful, though. But God tells you to slow. Listen, I got a personal friend. God told him to slow down twice. Both times, he disobeyed. First time, totaled his Porsche. Second time, he's learning how to walk and how to wipe his own rear end again. That's how disobedience goes. And he knows better. Why? Because he's the one that taught me about forgiveness. He's a pastor. He disobeyed God, but he liked the speed. God tells you to slow your butt down, you slow your butt down. I don't always run with the traffic. Sometimes I'm just like, y'all can go by me. Right here's where I'm at, and I'm good. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord, for your mercy. Father, your mercy, your grace, it covers us when we're stupid and disobedient. And yes, Lord, I use the word stupid because stupid denotes something that we knew better and we did it anyway. So, Father, I thank you. Thank you for that mercy that you give us. And Father, I pray right now for all my brothers and sisters here, brothers and sisters at home. And if God's telling you, get your butt back here, get back here. But Lord, I pray that you remind us that there's no condemnation. There is conviction, but there is no condemnation. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you and praise you for moving in our lives, for opening up opportunities that we can grow, we can walk in faith. Lord, when you say to do something, we do. When you say to jump, we jump. Lord God, yes, help us. Help us. Help us to shut the voices out that are screaming out louder. Lord God, bless these people. Move in their lives. Father, remove that condemnation. Show them that your strength in you comes by falling on your mercy. Lord God, we thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Lord God, I pray for all these today. I bless them. Lord, those, I know we have some who are sick. Lord God, touch their bodies. Heal them, Lord God. Remove the irritants in their bodies. Lord God, I thank you and praise you that you're moving mightily in their lives. Father, and people that are struggling right now, Lord God, give them the strength to carry on. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, buddy.